Please pray with me. God of all creation, I pray that the words of this sermon are words that honor and glorify your name. I pray that this sermon will give light to your holy word and expand the hearts and minds of all, including myself. Amen. Well, today is Holy Humor, also called Holy Hilarity Sunday. And we celebrate differently today because, as Pastor Randy reminded us in the beginning, the joke God played on Satan by raising God's son from the tomb. It is the greatest joke ever played, and thus why many churches choose to be lighthearted and let their hair down on this Sunday. In some churches, the congregants come dressed in silly costumes, bright colored clothing, and even wacky shoes and hats. I also found that some churches play practical jokes on the pastor on this day, and I figure, since I'm not the pastor, have at it. So I thought I would begin today by telling you a few more jokes, if you can handle them. St. Peter was giving a tour of heaven, and they passed by a great mansion. "Well, who lives there?" asked someone on the tour. "A bus driver," said St. Peter. Next, the tour group passes a tiny shack. Again, someone on the tour asks, "Who lives there?" "A preacher," St. Peter responds. Well, this does not sit well with the folks on the tour. And they ask St. Peter, "Well, how come a bus driver gets a mansion and a preacher gets a tiny shack?" Well, St. Peter responds, "Well, you need to understand, in life, whenever this preacher preached, folks fell asleep. But whenever that bus driver drove the bus, people prayed." A pastor was asking the children if they knew what Easter was about. One child responded, "Easter! That's when the whole family comes together for a barbecue and we shoot off fireworks and we celebrate by waving the American flag." "No," said the pastor, "that's 4th of July." Another child pipes up and says, "Easter! That's when Santa comes down the chimney with presents." "No, that's Christmas," said the pastor. And finally, another child raises her hand. The pastor calls on her, asking one more time, "Little girl, do you know what Easter is about?" And the little girl says, "Easter, that's when Jesus rose from the dead and came out of the tomb." "Oh, yes, yes, yes," the pastor gleefully chimes with a big smile. And then the little girl continues. And then he sees his shadow and goes back into the tomb, causing 6 more weeks of winter. There was an elderly married couple, each being 85. They'd been married for 60 years. Strangely, they died on the same day and went to heaven. The fact is, the couple had been in very good health in the last 10 years, primarily due to the wife's interest in healthy living and eating and exercise. So they arrived at the pearly gates, and St. Peter escorted them to their beautiful mansion. The husband was amazed at the size and extravagant features of the home. "Well, how much is this going to cost?" he asked. And St. Peter replied, "This isn't going to cost you anything. This is heaven." The husband and wife made their way to the backyard and were excited to see a beautiful golf course. Every week, the golf course changes to a different model from the most famous courses on earth. The man was once more overwhelmed with joy and again asked, "Well, how much is this going to cost? What are the green fees?" And Peter said, "There are no green fees. You play for free. This is heaven." Peter then escorted the couple to the dining room where there was a lavish buffet with cuisines from all over the world. "Well, how much does it cost to eat here?" the man asked. Peter said once again, "It costs nothing. This is heaven. Please understand, everything is free." The man looked around and said, "Wait a minute. Where are the low-fat, low-cholesterol foods?" Peter replied, "That's the good thing about heaven. You can eat anything you want. You'll never get fat, you'll never get sick, and you'll never die." The man suddenly became angry, threw his hat down on the ground, and started stomping up and down on it, screaming. Peter and the man's wife said, "What is wrong with you? Calm down." The man looked at his wife and said, "If it weren't for your bran muffins, I'd have been here 10 years ago." A man decided to rob a house during the middle of the night. He entered the house while all was dark and quiet. After a few steps in, he heard a voice saying, "Jesus is watching you." The man was kind of freaked out. He heard it again, "Jesus is watching you." He whipped out his flashlight. He heard the voice again, "Jesus is watching you." His flashlight finally found the source of the voice. It was a parrot. "Ah, it's just a dumb parrot," he thought. He lowered his flashlight a few feet, and there was a vicious-looking dog baring his teeth. The parrot cried out, "Sick 'em, Jesus!" And finally, a man was down on his luck. He'd lost his job, his unemployment had run out, and he could not find a job anywhere. One day, a friend said, "Hey, Joe, I heard there's some sort of job opening at the zoo. Why don't you check it out?" So Joe didn't know much about animals, but he was desperate. The zoo director met Joe at the door with a handshake. He told Joe the job opening had been filled, but there was one more job still open. "Well, what is it?" Joe asked. "Well, you see, our gorilla died recently. He was our most popular attraction. We need someone to don a gorilla suit and play gorilla all day. It pays well." "Oh, I can do that," said Joe. So he donned the suit the first day. He started making gorilla noises and swung around a bit on the vines. Oh, not bad. This went on for a week, and Joe got more and more into his role each day. One day, he was posturing and swinging wildly from the vines, putting on a show like no other. But suddenly, he lost control and sailed through the air, landing into the lion exhibit next door. Joe was terrified and froze. The lion looked at him hungrily and started stalking closer to Joe. Joe backed up against the wall and started screaming, "Ah, help me, help me, help me!" The lion got right up to him, nose to nose, and said, "Shut up, man, or you get us both fired." A few one-liners. Two vultures were standing over their meal. They pray, "Thank you, Lord, for this meal and the car that ran over it." Moses carrying the stone tablets down the mountain says, "I can't wait for this to come out in paperback." News reporter outside Jerusalem, "Mother and baby are doing well. Both are in a stable condition." Holy Hilary Sunday. It's a God's joke on the devil. God's win over sin and evil. And it can seemingly be all really hard to believe. So maybe this is why John intentionally adds the story we call Doubting Thomas. Now think about it. Think of how mind-blowing it all sounds. Jesus is killed in the most brutal way, tortured, and probably died by suffocation on the cross. His disciples go into hiding, scared out of their wits, trying to process what all has just happened, and trying to piece together what they have just witnessed with what Jesus has said and taught them over the past 3 years. It certainly seemed like a very dark time after Jesus' death. And that maybe even they, the disciples, thought darkness had fallen forever. But God through Jesus, God promises eternal life with God for all who believe by raising Jesus from the dead. Now, first in the gospel today, the disciples are literally hiding from the rest of the world behind closed, locked doors. When I close my eyes, I can visually see them grouped together, huddled around one another in deep conversation, certainly not expecting anyone to just appear unannounced. And I love this part of scripture. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Do you know that emoji with the big, wide surprise eyes? When I envision this moment in scripture, I totally see every disciple in the room with those eyes. Now, second off, the words of Jesus are the words no one expects to hear. "Peace be with you." Seriously, if I were a disciple in that room, Jesus would have just scared the living daylights out of me. My heart would literally be racing in my chest from the surge of adrenaline watching him just appear. And the last thing on my mind is peace. Peace be with you? Being in that room would have been something. The disciples, after their eyes focus and refocus and their human brains grasp the fact that Jesus, the one whom they have witnessed dying, is truly standing and speaking before them. Can you imagine the joy and the tears and the hoops and the hollers and the bewilderment, the shaking of their heads coming from that room. It really is Jesus. It really is him. You betcha they couldn't wait to go find Thomas. You betcha. And can you visualize what Thomas says when the disciples tell him? How he reacts? What emoji eyes he might have had? In my own words, I imagine Thomas being like, whoa, 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 guys, there's no way. I mean, you're kidding me. There's no way Jesus just appeared like that. I'm going to need to see it. I'm going to need to touch Jesus for myself. I just can't believe what you're saying to me. So 8 days go by, an entire week. And as you all know, a lot can happen in an entire week. And it's easy to forget what happened just a few days prior. I mean, how many of us can remember what we ate or what we texted last Sunday evening? So 8 days go by, and then Jesus does it again. Jesus just appears again behind closed doors and says the exact same thing. Peace be with you. Now here's the part that I really like and grin about, because I have worked with groups of people all my life. Can you imagine the disciples now? Jesus appears, and I smile because I imagine the whole room turning their heads toward Thomas, saying, see, we told ya. Thomas gets a bad rap for doubting. Thomas gets a bad rap for doubting. But isn't Thomas us? If doubt were printed on a coin, there would be another side, as there are two sides to every coin. To have doubt is to have faith. To have faith is to have doubt. They go hand in hand, and that's okay. What we learn from Thomas here is how to live with both. Because honestly, sometimes we're going to have those moments where we have to see it to believe it. And there will be other times where we are convicted with so much faith that nothing, absolutely nothing, will shake us. Life's hard, and we are human. The key to having both faith and doubt is choosing which one to feed, which one to cultivate. We can choose to sit in doubt about God and Jesus' resurrection, doubt about ourselves, doubt about our own faith, or we can choose to expand upon our faith, surround ourselves with positive affirmations, dive into scripture that lifts and encourages us as faithful believers in Christ, and find a community of people who push us to be better humans, loving our neighbors and learning to love God more intimately. Both sides of the coin. Faith and doubt. They go hand in hand. To have doubt doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make you any less of a faithful believer. We all have those times in our lives, and that's okay. I will leave you with this. In his book, Faith in the Shadows, Finding Christ in the Midst of Doubt, Pastor Austin Fisher states, doubt is no reason to leave the faith. Instead, it's an invitation to a more honest faith, a faith that's not in control, but that trusts more fully in its Lord. He continues to say, there is a way to doubt that actually pulls us toward God instead of pushing us away from God, and that certainly starts with being honest about our doubts. Both and. Doubt and faith. Faith and doubt. We are both, and that's okay. Amen.